Hello and welcome. Now, following Jesus is the best decision you'll ever make. But let's be honest, it can be challenging at first. If you've ever wondered, why am I still struggling? You're not alone. Today, I'm going to share with you the five common struggles new followers of Jesus face and some practical tips to help you overcome them. Are you ready? Are you interested? Let's go ahead and get started. The first reason new followers of Jesus often struggle is that they haven't begun to renew their mind by the Word of God. We find out this in Romans chapter 12, verse number 2. It says this. It says, "Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the total renewing of your mind, that you may prove once and for all what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." What does all that mean? It's all about changing the way you think, aligning your thoughts with God's truth instead of the world's ways of thinking. Start by focusing on what God's Word says about you. Did you hear that? Start by focusing on what God's Word says about you in the Bible. You replace those negative and old ways of thinking with God's promises. What a practical tip you can take is write down one Bible verse each week and meditate on it every day. What are you going to do? You're going to meditate on it. Meditate simply means you're going to ponder on it. You're going to think about it, and you're going to say it to yourself over and over and over again. For example, take 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, which says, if you be in Christ, then you are a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So what are you going to say and meditate? I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. And how often are you going to do it? You're going to do it every single day until you replace that old way of thinking and begin to see yourself the same way that God sees you. The second reason that people often struggle as new followers of Jesus is because they haven't begun reading their Bible. See, it will be hard for you to meditate on God's Word if you have not even begun to read God's Word. We find out here in 1 Peter chapter 2, it actually compares God's Word to spiritual milk. It says, "Desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby." What happens is spiritual milk helps us to grow. Without it, we stay spiritually. You got to remember, I remember when I first got born again and I stopped dating God, I got for real. And I was in the gym one day and I was really big into bodybuilding and everything. So one day I'm standing in front of the mirror and I remember, I didn't hear an audible voice, but I remember on the inside, I heard this. It says, "You're out of man. You got muscles everywhere." He says, "But your inner man, the real you, your spirit man, is as small as a skinny Ethiopian child who hadn't ate in many, many days." And he says, "What I need you to do is spend as much time working on your building up your inner man as you do have spent building up your outer man. Because if you don't, you will always be led by your outer man." And I took that the same way 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 says, "I begin to desire the sincere milk of the Word, that I may be able to grow, that I will become spiritually strong." And that what that required me to do was to spend time in God's Word each and every day. So what do you have to do? Start with the Gospel of John to learn more about Jesus. What I want you to do is set aside 10 minutes a day to read a chapter or even a few verses. You'll be amazed at how God speaks to you through His Word. The third struggle that most people who are new followers of Jesus can often have is they don't know how to pray. And this is interesting because even Jesus' disciples asked Him in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, "Lord, teach us how to pray." Now, a lot of people will say Matthew chapter 6 is the Lord's Prayer, but it's not really the Lord's Prayer. If you read it, it's really a template of how Jesus is telling you and I how to pray. Prayer is you making your petitions and requests known to God. But the very first thing you want to do, you want to acknowledge who you're talking to. You're not praying to Jesus. You're not praying to Mary. You're not praying to the Holy Spirit, but you're praying to God the Father. That's why He says, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed means holy is your name. And then Jesus says, Father, your kingdom come. I'm praying for your kingdom come. I'm praying for your will to be done. So when you begin to start praying, what you want to do is you want to find out, because you've already begun reading the word of God, what is God's will concerning whatever you're believing for. I'm believing for your family. What is God's will concerning your children? What is God's will concerning your family? What is God's will? What does God want to see happen today? And when you begin to talk to God, God, the person of the Holy Spirit, will begin to speak back to you. Start with the basics. Begin to thank God for who He is and what He has done, and ask Him for help. Ask Him to, begin to share your heart with God. He wants to commune and fellowship with you. Let me give you a simple way to remember on how to pray. And using the words ACTS is a method or structure to prayer. First of all, you're going to start prayer with adoration. You're going to praise God for who He is. Second, the word, the letter C, is for confession. You're going to admit any mistakes and ask for forgiveness. T, it means thanksgiving. You're going to thank God for His blessings. And then S represents supplication. Ask God for what it is that you need. The fourth reason why new followers of Jesus often struggle is that they haven't been discipled. Now, this is a huge one, because I can tell you from my own personal experience, I was discipled. In fact, I asked God, talking about prayer, I asked God to send me somebody who was just like me, somebody who hungered for Him, who wanted to know Him, and not just to know of Him, but to know Him. And so He sent me this young man, and his name was LaRue Hill. We're still very good friends many years later. And what happened is LaRue began to disciple me. But in order for him to disciple me, I had to make a decision. I wanted to be a disciple. Now, a lot of people, they get born again, but they won't make a decision that they want to be a disciple. A disciple simply means you're becoming a student. You want to become a student. So what are you saying? Because Jesus said this. He says in John chapter 8:31, He says, if you hold to my teachings, you are truly my disciples. What does that word hold to his teachings mean? It means that you actually hear them and you obey them. You hear them, or you're taught, and you obey what it is that you're taught according to the word of God. Discipleship means learning from someone who is spiritually mature and can help you grow in your faith. It's about walking alongside others who follow Jesus. Again, what LaRue did for me is he walked alongside with me to help me to grow. Then you know what's interesting? Many years later, he was in a situation and our roles reversed, and I began to walk alongside him as he went through a season. But that's why I'm also very adamant about people being discipled, because I know the benefits of discipleship. Find a mentor or a small group of your church. Surround yourself with people who can guide and encourage you in your journey. And the fifth reason why many believers, new followers of Jesus, struggle is they don't have a pastor. See, Jesus himself said, that he's given some pastors, some gifts to the body, some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. What is their purpose? The purpose of an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, according to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, is so it can equip or mature the people for works of service or works of ministry, so that the body of Christ may be built up. Your pastor is like a shepherd, helping you stay on the right path, providing spiritual guidance. If you're not a part of a church yet, pray and ask God to lead you to one. Look for a church that teaches the Bible. I say look for a church that teaches you about the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, teaches you about the love of God, but also teaches you about the kingdom of God. And the importance of a pastor is this: they have the responsibility to help you to grow in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's a quick recap of the five common struggles for new followers of Jesus and how to overcome them. One, you want to start by renewing your mind. You want to make time to read your Bible. You want to learn to pray simply and sincerely. You want to get discipled by someone mature in the faith, and you want to find a pastor or a church family that will help you to grow in your relationship with God. Remember this, following Jesus is a journey, and it's okay to take it one step at a time. You're not alone, because God is with you, and so is your church community. If this encourages you, share it with someone else who's starting their faith journey. Let's grow together. Have a great day. Bye-bye.